Okay, Senator Hahn, please explain the A5 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. The A5 amendment simply, again, to the same general purpose as the other amendments that I've offered, would restrict the operations of casinos to be consistent with the operations of bars and taverns as they exist today. And simply to put in place, and again, recognizing that we don't have 24/7 off-sale liquor or on-sale liquor service because of the potential deleterious effect that has on the social fabric, that those same sorts of restrictions ought to apply to the casino operation as well. It's hard to believe that people are going to gamble at a slot machine all night because they're being entertained. It seems to me that if there is, and as I said, it is indisputable that there is a problem, somehow having an interruption in that, I think, would be of help to people who do have that problem so that they would maybe perhaps have a chance to go home and get a good night's sleep and perhaps talk with their spouse, and maybe they wouldn't come back the next day. But when we say we're going to encourage people to spend 24/7 in front of a slot machine for as long as they have money, I think that is a very questionable thing to encourage, and this would certainly prevent that from happening.
Senator Oebling?
Mr. Chair and Senator Hahn, I know that this would not affect the tribal gaming at all. Again, I do get your point, though, and I would move to amend his amendment to change it on 1.13 to 2 a.m. to 7 a.m.
And Mr. Chairman and Senator Roebling, could I ask just what is the reason for that change? If these are the current laws that apply to on-sale liquor establishment, what's the reason to change the times?
Mr. Chair and Senator Hahn, actually, a lot of bars have permission to stay open until 2 a.m. now.
Yeah.
And I think that
we passed it.
We passed it. They can pay an extra fee and stay open until 2 a.m. And I think that your goal here is to interrupt a long pattern, and this would serve that purpose from 2 to 7. And I think that would be appropriate. It's in several locations throughout this amendment, and I would just move to amend them all.
So, Senator Roebling, you would move to change everything, every section that says 1 a.m. to 10 a.m., amend all of those to say 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Olson.
Senator Roebling, do you happen to know what the current hours are of either the casinos or the racetracks?
24/7.
Senator Roebling?
Mr. Chair, and Senator Olson, the current casinos have no restrictions, obviously. They're open 24 hours.
Are they open 24 hours?
Yeah. So, I mean, if that's what you would prefer, you know, we'll vote against the whole amendment, perhaps. But
I think
that the racetrack, you know, they currently run their races, and they are limited right now somewhat, at least to serving alcohol no later than 2 a.m., and I don't think there's any time when they can reopen. In the past, they have been able to reopen whenever they want. But this would just be the casino portion of it. I don't know. I'm just leaving it there.
All right, Senator Newman, to that point of Senator Roebling's amendment to the amendment.
To that point, Mr. Chairman, Senator Roebling, do you know what time the racetrack opens in the morning? Is it 7 o'clock? Is it 10?
In the afternoon.
Mr. Chair and Senator Newman, I know that there are people out there training and working with horses before the crack of dawn. But the actual facility where the gambling is usually on weekends, it's in the afternoon, and on weeknights, it's in the evening. And that's when they normally are open for their actual gambling. Well, actually, no, I shouldn't say that. They actually have the parimutuel gambling, too, and I don't know what their hours are.
Mr. Chairman, what I'm looking for is when is it open to the public?
24/7, court says 24/7.
Oh, they are.
Senator Newman?
Oh, I guess that could be a problem.
Senator Roebling?
The parimutuel gambling is currently permitted 24 hours a day.
Because of the time changes where the race may be going on.
That would be on the video, screens.
Senator Ingebretson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, here we are talking about a fair playing field. And again, I don't want to belabor this, and I don't want to continue this argument. But that's what I'm hearing from my constituents. I'm also hearing from my constituents, and I agree 100%. And I want to go on the record that as soon as Minnesota steps out of gaming, totally eliminates gaming, I'm going to be the first one on that bill. But until that happens, there has to be some fairness here going on, and this is not. This is just another way of being different than what's going on right now. If our public is going to be having an opportunity to do with their money, which they like, and we're forgetting about those people that actually go there for enjoyment that aren't so-called problem gamblers. There are those out there too that we represent. They should be on the same playing field, so I'd be against this amendment.
Senator Roebling has offered an amendment to the amendment. Further discussion? If not, all those in favor of Senator Roebling's oral amendment, changing the times from 2 a.m. to 7 a.m., all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
Nay.
The chair's in doubt. All those in favor of changing the times from 1 a.m. to 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. to 7 a.m., please raise your hand. 2, 5. All those opposed? 2, 5. The motion fails.
Mr. Chairman, before we vote on the A5 amendment, then, I just would like to, again, respond to Senator Ingebretson. I am not sure what is meant by fairness. What is unfair? We do have casinos that are operated under the tribal compacts. I, frankly, in the longstanding opposition to the idea of those, but we have them. And I believe that there are significant problems that the state has incurred as a result of that. I think the FBI crime statistics show that crime is up 9% in counties that have casinos, Class 3 gaming operations in them. So there's clearly costs for having a casino. And I've heard from people that tell me about those costs. I don't have a casino in my district, but I have talked to people in other districts, and they recognize that there are problems. And so you have that situation going on, and then we're having the argument, well, we have that going on, but we ought to have more of it go on in more places because that's fair. We have the problem over here where we do have the existing casinos, but we need a few more casinos so we have more of the problem in more places, and that's the fairness argument that I don't understand. If we agree that there is a problem associated with this activity, then we ought to take steps to try to minimize it or try to restrict its impact instead of just saying, well, we ought to just have more of it. And to the point about people who want to go to a casino and just be entertained, and I know there are people that do that, the amendments I'm offering do not interfere with that at all. If people want to go and spend $200 and throw it down a slot machine and they think that is entertaining, and God bless them, that's their right to do so. By saying that you can't be there 24/7 doesn't restrict that entertainment opportunity, or by saying that we're going to have some restriction on promotional activities or advertising, none of those things would restrict the entertainment aspect. These are designed to recognize that people who have a problem need to be at least not encouraged or enticed into continuing to be involved in very self-destructive behavior and behavior that has a very large social cost to the rest of us that we all pay for. So I would just urge the adoption of the A5 amendment and ask for a roll call vote.
Okay. Senator Hand moves the A5 amendment to House File 873 and has asked for a roll call. The clerk will take the roll.
Senator Bonhoff.
No.
Senator Cohen.
Yes.
Senator Fischbach.
No.
Senator Goodwin.
Yes.
Senator Hand.
Yes.
Senator Higgins.
Yes.
Senator Ingebretson.
No.
Senator Langseth.
No.
Senator Magnus.
No.
Senator Newman.
Yes.
Senator Nienau. Senator Olson.
No.
Senator Perry.
No.
Senator Stumpf. Senator Roebling.
No.
The motion to accept A5, the A5 amendment fails on a vote of 5 yes, 9 no. Motion is not approved.
Mr. Chairman, I have the A10 amendment.
Okay, all the members. All the members have a copy of the A10 amendment. Senator Hand, please explain the A10 amendment.
Mr. Chairman and members, this, I guess, relatively cryptic amendment may not make much sense as you read it, but it really applies to ATM machines. And again, recognizing and not to deter anyone who is going to a casino for entertainment purposes, but it is an established fact that people spend all the money they have. And if you permit ATM machines to be located on or near where you have a casino, then you are helping people with a problem to continue to use every available resource that they have. And this would at least put some restraint on that. And remember, when people use all their money to play casino games, that means they don't have money to pay rent, they don't have money to buy health insurance, they don't have money to take care of their kids. All these things that we talk about and that we have other programs that we're trying to fund and trying to help. And then we are also going to say, but we're going to build a facility and encourage and create a group of people with a problem and make sure they go there and make sure they have every opportunity to spend every dime they can get their hands on. I think that is foolish public policy, and this would at least put some, again, distance in the way of that ability to use all the money available to people who have a problem to spend it on gambling.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. Chair, I think the only problem I got with this is the 10 miles. If there's a bank within 10 miles or so on, that if it's within the facility, I wish we could do that to all the casinos. But, again, it's... I mean, are we going to deviate from what the situation is? But I wish I could knock out the ET, whatever they call them, in every one of the casinos in the state of Minnesota. But unfortunately, we can't do that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roebling.
This would be quite problematic in my community. It would mean that we couldn't have any ATMs in Shakopee, Prior Lake, or Savage. Probably Chanhassen would be affected, too, because they're all within about a 10-mile radius. And the other thing is that even if we banned them in all those areas, I imagine that this would not be applicable to the tribal lands because they would not be affected because this would be civil law, and therefore they could have them and people could still go there too.
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam, or Mr. Chair, sorry.
That's all right.
I have a question for Senator Han, and I see that you say no detached facility may be located within 10 miles. But you don't say no detached facility may be located in or within 10 miles. So, in other words, could they have, like they do now, ATM machines and credit card, no number needed machines, but inside the facility, but not 10 miles out of it?
Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, and Senator Gooden, my understanding is this would prohibit ATM machines on the site, on the location of the casino as well.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bodern, watch me closely so I don't make a mistake here. I want to offer an oral amendment on line 1.5. Delete the words 10 miles of. My intention would be to prohibit the ATMs, you know, at the facility, at the track.
Is Mr. Bodern?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Newman, maybe it would be a little more precise to say maybe located on the premises of a racetrack. I'm just thinking if this were read literally, it might be more restrictive than you want it to be.
I accept your recommendation.
If you delete within 10 miles of and insert on the premises, or excuse me, you delete within 10 miles and insert on the premises.
I would so move.
That's your motion, Senator Newman. Senator Newman has made a motion to amend the A-10 amendment, orally. Everyone understand the oral amendment? All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay.
No.
Nay.
Division.
Division's been called. All those in favor of Senator Newman's motion to the A-10 amendment, raise their hand. Four. All those opposed? The motion prevails. And 8-4.
Mr. Chairman, and then I would move the A-10 amendment as amended and ask for a roll call vote.
Senator Hand has moved the A-10 amendment as amended and ask for a roll call vote. The clerk will take the roll.
So what's the A-10 as amended, this?
Yeah, just on the premises.
Okay.
Senator Bonoff?
Yes.
Senator Cohen?
Yes.
Senator Fischbach?
No.
Senator Goodwin?
Yes.
Senator Hand?
Yes.
Senator Higgins?
Yes.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
No.
Senator Langseth?
Yes.
Senator Magnus?
Yes.
Senator Newman?
Yes.
Senator Nino?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Perry?
No.
Senator Stumpf? Senator Roebling?
No.
On the A-10 amendment as amended, the vote is 10-4 and 4 opposed. The A-10 amendment as amended is passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members, and I do have one last amendment, the A-6 amendment.
Senator Hand, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. The A6 amendment creates a civil liability for a what's called a location contract holder, meaning an operator of a casino under the provisions of this proposed bill that would, first of all, puts into this subdivision a definition of compulsive gambler, which I believe, and Mr. Bodern may be able to offer me some counsel. I believe this is a definition that currently exists in statute and some other part of law, but I understand that maybe Ms. James, if she's here, I think she helped with the drafting of the amendment. She may clarify that, but I believe this is a definition that exists in statute and says that any spouse, child, parent, guardian, employer, creditor, or other person who is injured in person, property, or means of support, or who incurs other pecuniary loss as a result of the gambling loss by a compulsive gambler, has the right of action against for damages against the operator of that facility. Now, this, in some respects, is similar to the things that we have in place. I think they're called dram shop laws that recognize a liability between that exists if you are selling liquor to somebody who is likely to go out and cause harm to himself or others, that the person who facilitated that activity has a liability. And, again, I think it is indisputable, although people people dispute it, but they don't dispute it on the basis of having looked at any of the research, but they say they don't believe that there is a significant issue with problem gambling in casinos. And so if that is the case, if people believe that, then this amendment should have no difficulty for them because it would not create any liability. I believe that the opposite is the case. I believe that there is a significant amount of economic activity, gaming activity, that is related to and directly related to people with a problem. And all I'm saying is that rather than have the state taxpayers be accountable for the costs associated with that, whether they are costs resulting from loss of employment or from loss of the home or for other damages, whether they're criminal or otherwise, that those losses should not be borne by the taxpayers, that they ought to be borne by the people who are profiting from the activity, namely the operators of a casino. And so all this does is create that connection between the liability for harm and the individuals who create that harm. And so I would ask for your support of the amendment.
Senator Ingebretson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hand, could you I'm going to give you a little hypothetical, a compulsive gambler. I'm kind of recently down on my luck, and I decide I'm going to go to Racino if this ever becomes law. And I have a bad day there, and I draw everything out of my account, and that's the end of it right there. I'm just done. I'm now going to be broke. I'm going to be financially ruined. Am I able to make that case? So I can go after the proprietors. By golly, I am a compulsive gambler. Now I'm actually seeing some dollar signs here. I'm not going to be responsible for my own actions, so I'm going to back up to state law here, and I'm going to jump on this compulsive gambling statute, and I'm going to declare myself a compulsive gambler. Am I going to have a legal means to go after the people?
And Senator Hand. Mr. Chairman, I suppose if you can demonstrate that you are chronically and progressively preoccupied with gambling and that you have the urge to gamble to the extent that that behavior compromises, disrupts, and damages your personal, family, or vocational pursuits. In other words, if you'd been spending all your time away from the things that you absolutely had to do and were taking advantage of every dollar you could get your hands on, legally or otherwise, if you were doing that and spending all that money in a casino, then yes, you would have a cause of action. If you are one day decide that you're going to take a flyer and you take out all the money out of your savings account and go down and spend it at a casino, and that's the only time that you've ever done that, then no, you would not be considered. I would say you have a problem, but I don't think you'd say you'd have a problem as recognized here. What we're talking about here are there are people. And there are, again, not the majority of people who go to a casino, but the significant, about half of the revenue generated by a casino comes from this relatively small number of people who have a problem and who will do everything and anything to get their hands on money, and they spend it at the slot machines. And all we're saying is that if you're married to somebody like that, and I know people who are married to people like that and who have lost their homes, and have had their lives turned upside down, and had their joint accounts looted, and had their savings for their children's college looted, had money taken under false pretexts from their in-laws. All these things have happened, and they have no recourse to make themselves financially whole. And I think that the operators of an operation that is designed to take money from people under those circumstances ought to be held liable for causing that harm to the families and others who are not directly engaging in the activity, rather than the taxpayers. Otherwise, the taxpayers are in the position of having to pick up that bill.
Senator Ingebretson.
Thank you. And to that point, Senator Hand, so, again, this is certainly not anywhere close to being law yet. If it were law, all of a sudden we have two. I understand that there would be two different facilities that would be able to open up for gaming. So somebody who's had this compulsive gambling urge for years and years and years and has been going to the Indian tribal casino over the past 15 years, and now they're down to their last dollar, and all of a sudden they decide, you know what, they don't have this particular situation up at the Shooting Star Casino up in Manoman, nor do they have it at the Mystic Lake. But they do have it over here at the institutions we're talking about, the places of business we're talking about. I've now got a way to make myself solvent on the backs of these two different groups here. Is that a fair statement?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Ingritson, no, it is not. The operators would be liable for damages related to their activity, not the activities of others who may not be included in this law. So if you are spent years and years robbing from your family and your business and whatever things you may have done to obtain money and spent it up at a tribal casino, for example, and then with your last $10 go down to, if this law were to pass, a casino covered under the provinces of this legislation, you could recover your $10, but you could not recover the losses you'd incurred in the years before, because this would apply only to the liability of the operator who facilitated the losses that you incurred.
Senator Olson, did you have a question?
Well, I've just been reflecting on a statement I've often made. You know, I think that we're probably the gambling estate in the nation. We were known for having probably the most full flights out to Las Vegas, and I'm not even sure they've let up, even with all the casinos we've got here. But I've always kind of added to that, and that doesn't include those who play the stock market or who farm. They're probably the biggest gamblers of all. But the ones who play the stock market, I was listening to the purpose of this. There are folks, and I know some, that are day traders on the stock market, and they aren't necessarily good at it, and they fit these behaviors. They're sitting by a computer all day, and trying to make some money buying and selling stocks, and it does disrupt or damage personal, family, and vocational pursuits. So maybe Wall Street ought to be included in here.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Hand,
to that point, and I, first of all, I don't think that is seriously analogy. Perhaps it is, but
there are
significant differences, obviously, between investors and gamblers. Investors are taking money that they have earned. I don't know of many investors that steal from their trust. Well, there probably are some somewhere, but there are not the pathologies associated with investing that are associated with casino gaming. And investing, presumably, is related to some productive activity. When you're investing your money, you're investing it into something that is going to produce some good or service or add to the overall wealth of the economy. Slot machines don't do that. So the activity itself is remarkably different than investing in the economy. Now, are there people with problems?
Are there
people, Mr. Chairman? I just wanted to finish my point here.
Go ahead, Senator.
There are people that have problems associated with all kinds of activities, and this is not intended to solve all those problems. But it is trying to recognize that if there is a significant relationship between the revenues of a casino and a problem, and I believe it's indisputable, then we ought to say that the people who are facilitating that problem ought to bear the costs and not the public. And that's what this bill does. It creates an opportunity for those costs to be borne by the people who profit from those losses, which are the operators of the casino. And if there are other problems beyond this, that's certainly maybe true, but I'm not trying to correct those things. I'm just trying to create that recognition. Now, if people argue there isn't that, what I'm saying isn't true, that there aren't problem gamblers that are the significant numbers that create this, then there ought to be no fear in adopting this amendment, since there would be nothing to be concerned about. But I believe that the people who run gambling operations know that is the fact, and they would not for a minute want to see this kind of provision put in place because it would prohibit their ability to loot the public.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the A6 or A6 amendment, I would indicate I will not support this amendment for the following reasons. First of all, I think it really significantly expands any current cause of action that we would otherwise have in Minnesota. Specifically on line 11, it would enable any person to take advantage of this. Secondly, it describes an injured person, and there is no definition as to what that injury may be. There was an analogy mentioned of a similar statute called the Dram Shop Action, used as an analogy to support this amendment. But in a Dram Shop Action, you were talking about physical injuries, not emotional or monetary injuries. And the best analogy that I'm coming up with to support the A6 amendment would be to allow an alcoholic to sue or an alcoholic family to sue a bar owner or a restaurant. So it just seems to me to be such an expansive amendment in terms of a cause of action or the right to sue in Minnesota that I would oppose it.
Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, and I think that the person injured would be as a result of gambling losses. So I think there is that it's just not any person. You'd have to establish that you have been harmed by the gambling activity that is compulsive in nature. But I think that there have been tobacco lawsuits. They were referred to earlier in this debate. What were the basis of those lawsuits? There was a basis saying that, we were harmed by the use of this product, and the people who harmed us have a liability to pay the costs. And that was found to be the case, and there was that was judged favorable. The point I'm trying to make here is that if there are problems, which I believe there are, associated with pathological and problem gambling that casinos directly facilitate and encourage, those costs are going to have to be paid by someone. And currently they're paid by taxpayers. And all this would say is we shouldn't allow that. We should allow the people who are making millions of dollars in profits from this activity, they should be held liable for those losses, not taxpayers. Now, if you think taxpayers ought to be held liable for those losses, then vote against the amendment. Or if you don't believe that there are problems associated with pathological gambling in casinos, then vote against the amendment.
Senator Langstedt?
Well, Mr. Chair, it appears to me this is a lawyer's full employment.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just amendment. Point out I'm not a lawyer.
I know you're not, but I think we all know this would be just unworkable, and it'd be litigation all over the place. So
okay. Thank you, Senator. We have before us the A6 amendment.
And Mr. Chairman, I'd ask for a roll call.
Senator Hand has presented the A6 amendment. Has asked for a roll call. The clerk will take the roll.
Senator Bonhoff.
No.
Senator Cohen. Senator Fischbach.
No.
Senator Goodwin.
No.
Senator Hand.
Yes.
Senator Higgins. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
No.
Senator Langseth.
No.
Senator Magnus.
No.
Senator Newman.
No.
Senator Nienau. Senator Olson.
No.
No.
Senator Perry.
No.
Senator Stumpf.
No.
Senator Roebling.
No.
The A6 amendment has 4 yes votes, 10 no votes. The A6 amendment does not prevail.
Well, Senator,
Senator Chair, Olson.
Well, I would move that House File 873 be recommended to pass and sent to the floor.
Mr. Chairman.
As amended?
As amended.
Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, to that motion I guess a couple of questions perhaps for Senator Olson or for Senator Roebling or other proponents. This bill contemplates the creation of 2 casinos. And I would just ask, what is the rationale for 2? Why not 3? All the arguments that I've heard in favor of these casinos would seem to me to suggest that we ought to have as many as we could accommodate. And why wouldn't we pass a law that would specify, here's what's required to operate a casino. Maybe you have to prove that you've got some land and you're financially solvent enough to build it. And why just 2? Why not more? And why the 2 that are associated with the racetrack? Why would that be a provision? Why is that necessary? And the second thing, and I'll ask, as Senator Newman calls, a compound question, but what is there a recognition that we're creating a permanent revenue stream here? And that we're creating it, presumably on the, I would argue, at the cost of very vulnerable people. Why would we do that when we have spent, at least some of us, a significant amount of time arguing that we don't need to acquire more revenue into the state budget to solve our problems? We need to find ways to spend money more effectively and to find ways to deal with the spending side rather than the revenue side. But here we are talking about adding into law a permanent revenue stream going to 2 operations, but we're making a general argument that there ought to be more of these because the more the better. And so I would just pose that question to the author of the amendment or to the author of the bill.
Okay, Senator Roebling.
Mr. Chair, I would contend that these are already licensed gambling facilities, state-licensed facilities, and that it's very appropriate to just extend the type of gaming that they can do there. And, you know, you ask about whether or not we are hitting a certain vulnerable population, and is it right for the state to benefit from that in revenues. I guess I would say that if someone pays sales tax, it doesn't matter if they're rich or poor. If they're buying something, they pay the tax, or if they have a fee that we assess for somebody else, we usually assess it for them. We don't necessarily ask their income before they have to pay it. I guess it's a rhetorical question, I understand, but most people, Senator Hahn, are going there for entertainment, and we don't restrict other people's entertainment dollars. If they want to go to a concert that they're charging $150 a ticket for, or a Vikings game that might be $180 a ticket, we're not trying to limit them as to what their entertainment can be. And this is just giving them another location. It's not even another choice of gambling. It's just another location that's already licensed by the state.
And, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Hahn,
to that point, the amendments that I offered were not intended to interfere with any of the entertainment. The people who go to casinos for entertainment would not be significantly impeded in their seeking of entertainment by any of the amendments that I offered and were rejected. The amendments I offered that were rejected were designed and intended to be focused specifically on interrupting the problem and pathological gamblers who, you're right, are not the majority. I've never said and don't make the argument that the majority of people who go to a casino have a problem. They don't. It's about 5 to 6% of the people who go to casinos who have the problem, but they account for 50% of the revenue. And that's an indisputed fact, as I've said. And if we could have this bill in our committee, we could have hearings that would demonstrate that. In fact, I would like to offer an amended motion to refer this bill to the Health and Human Services Committee upon passage, presuming that it does. But that is the point, Senator Roebling, is that this is not about restricting people's right to be entertained. It is trying to recognize that there is a significant problem, and whether we're going to profit on that problem or whether we're going to do anything to try to impede the expansion of that problem. It seems to me what we're saying is we, first of all, want to encourage that problem to expand and that we as a state are going to facilitate that and profit from it, and we're furthermore going to designate two entities that can personally profit by that. And my question is simply that if we believe that more casinos are a good thing, then we ought to just pass a law to say here's what it takes to operate a casino and let 1,000 flowers bloom. I don't believe that's good policy. But that, to me, I don't understand. If it's good for two, then four ought to be twice as good and 10 even better.
Anyone of the public care to testify for or against the bill?
No.
We ask that you keep your comments brief. Mr. Knapp, Mr. Kozak.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, and members of the committee. I just have two brief comments related to the fiscal impact of this bill that I'd suggest the committee might want to take into consideration. I represent the Prairie Island Indian community, which operates the Treasure Island Resort and Casino near Red Wing, Minnesota. Treasure Island employs over 1,000 people, and as such, it's the largest employer in Goodhue County. Treasure Island has had an analysis done that indicates that if this legislation is to pass and these casinos come into operation, Treasure Island's business will decline by at least 30%. So what we're talking about, obviously, with that kind of a decline in business is hundreds of employees at Treasure Island being laid off. And I would suggest to the committee that they consider the fiscal impact on the state and on the county from hundreds of unemployed former casino workers. I'd also like, if I could, to briefly address Senator Newman's question of about an hour or so ago about is there any risk to the state of Minnesota from passing this bill. And as Mr. Holton testified previously, these video lottery machines are going to be owned by the state of Minnesota. The state of Minnesota is going to buy these machines and allow the two casinos to operate these machines. If you would look at the experience that other states have had recently with racinos and casinos that were authorized, they have not been successful. I'd point specifically to Pennsylvania and to Kansas, which passed similar legislation. There are other examples as well. So this is not a risk-free enterprise for the state of Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Knapp. Mr. Kozak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Andrew Kozak, and I represent the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association. And the association encompasses, I believe, currently 9 of the 11 federally recognized Indian tribes in Minnesota. I just want to amplify, if I can, on something that Mr. Knapp said first, and that is the jobs. For many years, as many of the years that I've been here, we often hear about there are winners and losers, and the legislature shouldn't select winners or losers. But this is a gambling bill, so quite logically there are going to be winners and there are going to be losers. The winners, of course, would be the racetracks and some of the folks that own racehorses. The state is going to be subsidizing at least two private enterprises. The losers in this case would be, by our lights, by our calculations, would be the tribal employees around the of the, I believe there are 18, as someone said, 18 casinos in the state of Minnesota. Some will be less affected than others. We believe that this bill, if it were enacted, would cost probably about somewhere near 5,000 jobs, direct casino employees and employees of the various vendors who service these. Now, clearly some of these jobs would be replaced at the new facilities, there's no doubt. But in most of the cases, particularly where the casinos are located outside of the metropolitan area, the folks that lose their jobs, those jobs are going to be gone, and maybe someone in the metropolitan area will be able to get those jobs, but most of those will have them, they'll be lost permanently, and even those who get hired by the new places would end up, their lives are going to be disturbed considerably. So that's our principal objection to the bill, or to the amendment. And I would also suggest that in terms of expansion, I know this has already been discussion, but in two-thirds of the expansion experiences in other states in the recent past, they don't meet projections. And what happens is inevitably they ask for more machines, more locations. And so whatever good intentions people have today of simply confining this expansion in Minnesota, these two facilities, there will be pressures. Once the state gets into this business, into the slot machine business, the demand for more and more won't end. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Kozak. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just maybe not to these gentlemen here. The 30% reduction, of course, those folks could probably become employed at the racinos, so that may not one could argue that probably isn't going to happen. But Senator Roebling, you and I discussed some time ago about the employees at Mystic Lake versus regular state employees. Is it not my understanding that it is totally, totally up to the tribes whether they pay income tax, whether they collect income tax or sales tax, whether it's their total option to do that? And what would be different between that versus employees at Racino and or sales tax at Racino?
Senator Roebling?
Mr. Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, the tribes do not, tribal members do not pay state income tax. And for things that are sold on the tribal lands, they do not have to pay sales tax. But a number of the tribes, I think with the exception of Prairie Island, have entered into some sort of an agreement with the state of Minnesota and either charge a portion of the sales tax or maybe all of it. I know in the case of most of them, they charge the sales tax that we have in the state, and then they collect half of it for their tribal government and remit the rest to the state.
Thank you.
Mr. Kozak to that point?
Mr. Chairman, and thank you. Senator Roebling is mostly correct. Description of the sales tax agreements, I think, is accurate. In terms of income tax, the rule is, and this is federal law, tribal members who live on the reservation, and derive their income from the reservation are not taxed by the state of Minnesota, their personal income tax. If they are tribal members and they derive their income from the reservation but do not live on the reservation, they pay taxes just as anyone else would. In addition, tribal members, some have outside income, which triggers alternative minimum tax, and they have to pay just like anyone else. Finally, in terms of the business, the casino, the tribal casinos, they collect income tax, withholding, FICA, and everything else, just like any other business in the state of Minnesota, and remit it to the state.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Kozak.
Okay.
Do you have a question, Senator?
Another question. I've heard, and I'm glad to be part of the discussion of Racino's. I've never had this opportunity. Maybe you can tell me or enlighten me. You know, you hear different things, and I guess I'd like to put it out on the table for discussion, not a long discussion. I know my members are looking at me like, when are you ever going to quit? But the question I have is, I've heard different times that the county of Mahnomen was in financial straps there because of the ability for the gaming, the tribe individuals there buying up land, putting it in trust, and not having to pay any property tax. Is that true?
So the county
would be losing out on those revenues.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Ingebrigtsen, I can't tell you anything about the specifics of the Mahnomen County. I believe that's part of the White Earth Reservation, and the White Earth Reservation, frankly, has never been part of the Minnesota Indian Gaming Associations for their own reasons. A tribe cannot, however, willy-nilly put land in trust. That is a process that requires the permission of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Secretary of the Interior. It is a long and laborious process lasting years, and only land that's gone through that process is tax exempt. Land that the tribe owns, but they call that fee land. The land tribe owns, they pay taxes just like anyone else, and that is why in the case of Mille Lacs, the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe is the biggest taxpayer in Pine County.
Thank you very much. Senator Cohen.
Well, I think Senator Newman.
Senator Newman, do you have a question?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To either of the testifiers, in round numbers, the projections are that this particular amendment by the year 2015 is going to contribute about $120 million a year towards our education shift in Minnesota. And can you give me, either of you, an idea of what the Indian Gaming Association or the Tribal Gaming contributes to the state of Minnesota on an annual basis?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Knapp.
I speaking only for Prairie Island, I believe that the state income tax withholding for employees at Prairie Island is on the neighborhood of $9 million a year.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have that figure offhand, but I know it's available, and I believe it is somewhere, this includes, of course, Prairie Island, I believe it's somewhere about $40 million that the tribes pay in withholding, just like, as I said, any other corporation
federal
would.
Senator Newman.
Presumably, if this amendment was adopted and we had Racino out at Canterbury or running Aces, there would also be individuals who would be employed and paying income taxes and withholding, et cetera. I'm looking for funds other than income taxes. Do the tribes or the gaming association contribute to money to the state of Minnesota other than through income taxes or withholding, et cetera?
Mr. Kozak.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Newman. It's been the policy of the United States, in the United States Congress, since I believe sometime in the late 1700s, 1790s, when the Constitution was first ratified, that states are not permitted to tax Indian tribes. The National Indian Gaming Act of 1989, which regulates tribal casinos, prohibits tribes from giving funds to their state unless they receive something tangible in return. And these are matters that Congress has decided, and as far as I know, that's the current law of the land.
One more follow-up question, then I'll quit. Would in your estimation, the exclusive right to these casinos be a tangible asset, which would trigger the ability of the tribes to make a gift to the state of Minnesota?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Newman, that's a fair question. It's been asked more than once, as you can imagine, over the years that I've been involved in this. And I guess my answer is I honestly don't know. There have been discussions, but it would. You're right. Offer of an exclusive agreement certainly quite attractive. Whether it's tangible, because in reality the tribes do have, at least for slot machines, they do have exclusive. License, as it will, because of the compacts in the state of Minnesota. It's a question I can't answer. The minute you ask that question, lawyers are involved. But it's something that's been asked, and I expect it'll be asked again in the future.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Quickly now, folks, we've got to move along.
Mr. Okay. Chairman, Mr. Kozak, are you saying that exclusivity was a part of the compacts?
Mr. Kozak.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, absolutely not. The state, it was not. And that's, I've been very candid. The state has every right, at least as far as the Indian compacts, the tribal compacts go. They can, if they want to get into the gambling business, nothing in the compacts prohibits that.
Right. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, more than a few minutes ago, Senator Engelbertson made references that I think relative to some of Senator Hand's amendments relative to fairness. And I wonder if it's possible to inquire of Senator Engelbertson what he meant by the concept of fairness in this regard.
Senator Engelbertson.
Senator, thank you, Mr. Chair. And that would be my final statement was in regard to me carrying the message, incidentally, not from my caucus, but from my district and the people that I work for have consistently said, when is the fairness in gaming going to come up in Minnesota? When is that ever going to happen? When are we not going to be responsible for paying for roads and bridges to Indian tribal casinos and not be receiving a fair amount of money back from them? Now, I don't know. You know, in fairness to that statement, fairness about a fairness statement, they may not know, have privy to the information that we have here. But the perception is that the state of Minnesota is paying dearly and not receiving anything in return for gaming. And I think that's what's reflective, very reflective of the polling that's going on with regards to Racino. Now, there's different polls going on for different types of gaming, but Racino has been around a long time, and folks are saying that's fair. They're saying that's fair. But what they're really saying is why aren't you guys, why isn't the legislature doing that? Why aren't we being treated fairly? And I certainly appreciate the health concern that Senator Han has absolutely made very clear here, and I don't think anybody's going to argue with the problem gamblers. My question is, are we going to be adding to problem gambling, or are we just, you know, it's already here. That doesn't address the problem, but it's already here. My my point that I would make is that we're probably not going to expand on problem gaming. And the state of Minnesota, quite frankly, has once again, here's a matter of fairness, and I'll throw this out because I know this has been part of the discussion already. Minnesota has stepped up. There is a fund, as you probably well know, Senator Cohen, that is a fund that gaming institutions, gambling institutions in the state of Minnesota, including Indian tribes, can contribute to. The state of Minnesota, and I'm gonna go out in the weeds a little ways on how much they've donated to that, but I know that the state of Minnesota has put $2 million into that fund over the years. Indian gaming has put not one dime into that fund. Here we go again. Here's the word fairness. So when I talk about fairness, that's where I'm coming from. And I want to make it very clear that if Senator Hahn has a bill here and there's a movement in the state of Minnesota to outlaw gaming completely, I'm going to be standing right with him. And that includes Racino, goes away as well.
Mr. Kozak.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, very briefly, two things. First of all, roads and bridges. I think it's fair to say that there are, throughout the state, there have been significant agreements between the tribes and local government, counties and cities, to share the cost of road improvements. And I can get you that list. I know that exists. Secondly, what tribal gaming has contributed to the state of Minnesota is directly somewhere close to 20,000 jobs. Most of those jobs are in the rural area. Only one casino, Mystic Lake, is in the bounds of the seven-county metropolitan area. Those jobs are all in the rural area, and our concern with this bill, with this amendment, is that it's going to take the two racinos that are in this bill are both in the metropolitan area. So it's going to be a transfer of jobs from the rural area to the metro area, and I think that is beyond dispute. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd call the question.
Mr. Chairman.
Gentlemen, we have a motion before us on the floor.
Mr. Chairman, we've been here for several hours. I haven't asked many questions. I'd like to make a comment. When do we start stifling debate in this place? This is remarkable.
Senator Cohen, I did not make the motion. All I can do is say
Mr. Chairman, I want to make clear that I had a motion to, which I believe takes precedence, to refer this bill to Health and Human Services.
But it was after
well, you would have called the question on your motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm hoping Senator Perry would exercise the courtesy of withdrawing his motion and allowing Senator Hahn and I to proceed.
Mr. Chairman, I did call the question.
Members, the senators called the question. The previous questions, there is no debate. He's called the question. He's voted up.
Mr. Chairman, I'll tell you, it's just unfair. Just unfair. I've been a member of this place for a long time, and I don't think I've ever been in a committee, ever, where the question was called. Ever.
Mr. Chairman, can you clarify the question for us, please?
Senator Cohen, the motion is to move the previous question. It's not debatable.
Could you clarify what the question is, Mr. Chairman?
The question is, before the body, Mr. Bodern can clarify to the members what the question is.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the motion is that House File 873 be recommended to pass.
It's amended.
As referred to Health and Human Services, Mr. Chairman, is the motion that I made previously in my opening comments on the bill.
Well, then you make a substitute motion.
No, I didn't make that motion. I made the motion not with the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I made a motion subsequent to that to refer to Health and Human Services. So that would seem to me to be the motion on the table.
Mr. Chair, advice?
I will take your advice, Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When you made that motion, Senator Hahn, you said after it passes, and I presume it's passing.
I said my motion was, presuming it passes, that it would be referred to Health and Human Services. So my motion was that if we're going to recommend it to pass, that it be referred to Health and Human Services. That was my motion.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hahn, you wouldn't know if it passes until you take the vote. You said,
That's why I had made that motion refer it to Health and Human Services.
It was the chair's understanding that your intention was to do this, Senator. I don't believe you actually made a motion that I heard, and maybe I...
And Mr. Chair, I did not accept that as a part of my motion.
Mr. Chair, advice. Senator Olson did make a motion to recommend House House File 873 be recommended to pass and referred to the floor, as amended and referred to the floor.
Right.
And I understood you to try and amend that motion that you would send it to the House. Or,
to help.
But you made the motion to amend it to send it to health. So I don't know if that's still the way it stands, and we would vote on
his Mr. Chair.
Okay. Senator Lang says.
Okay, he said it he recommended to pass and go to Health and Human Services. If we vote that down, does that mean the bill goes down?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
Fine.
So what's the motion?
Members,
we have to vote on his amendment.
He's moving to amend my motion, and I think you vote on that separately.
His discussion was to do that, and members, I'm trying to be reasonable. I am trying to be reasonable and yet respectful, and I'm respectful of Senator Hahn and others. Senator Hahn, I think it was your clear intention to amend Senator Olson's amendment.
Well, Mr.
And so, Senator Hahn, I will honor that intention of yours that Senator Hahn's, the motion before us is that Senator Hahn is amending, has amended her motion, and that's the action we're taking.
That's great. So Mr. Chairman, can I inquire, since we're now on the Hahn motion? You're allowing him the courtesy to proceed with his motion, are you allowing other members, members?
Senator Cohen, that's not what the chair said. I said I understood it was his intention to do this. This is not a, you know, the previous question is not debatable. It was my understanding that was his desire before Senator Perry made the motion to move the previous question, and I'm trying to be reasonable with this. So we'll vote.
So, Mr. Chairman, we're voting on whether to refer it to the Health and Human Services.
We are voting on Senator Hahn's amendment to
my
your
motion.
All those in favor?
Can we have a roll call?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Perry's motion in front of us. So, Senator Perry.
Mr. Chairman, a technical point of order.
Yes, a minute.
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of order. If you would like to entertain a motion to call the question, we certainly can do that. Senator Perry was not recognized prior to making his motion. He was out of order. If you would like to recognize him now for the purpose of letting him make that motion, you may, but he was not recognized. He was out of order.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Senator
specifically
Perry
pointed at me and recognized me.
I did recognize.
That's when I opened my mouth.
Senator Perry. And the question before us is Senator Hahn's amendment to Senator Olson's
motion.
And I'd like a roll call, Mr. Chairman.
There's a motion.
To refer it to health.
What we're voting on now is calling the question to that motion. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's what we're voting on now.
No, I think we're voting on the motion, Mr. Chairman. And when you call the question, it's not a vote on calling the question. You're voting on the motion, I believe.
Right. Mr. Chairman.
Undebatable motion. We've been debating for 10 minutes now. We're supposed to vote no on the hand.
You should remove the motion.
Tell me what I'm voting on.
Motion to close debate. I don't think so.
All right. We've got clarification.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn. That's a higher motion. I'll ask for a roll call on that.
Senator Cohen has made a motion to adjourn, non-debatable. All those in favor of said motion?
Ask for a roll call.
And Senator Cohen asked for a roll call. The clerk will take the roll.
Senator Bonhoff?
No.
Senator Cohen?
Yes.
Senator Fischbach?
No.
Senator Goodwin? Senator Hahn?
Yes.
Senator Higgins?
Yes.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
No.
Senator Langseth?
No.
Senator Magnus?
No.
Senator Newman?
No.
Senator Nienau?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Perry?
No.
Senator Stumpf?
No.
Senator Roebling?
No.
Senator Cohen's motion to adjourn fails on a vote of 11-3. The question before the committee now is Senator Perry's motion to call the previous question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, nay.
No.
Oh.
The motion carries.
Division.
Division. All those.
We are now voting on the referral to the Health and Human Services.
We are voting on his motion to call the previous question. That's all we're voting on.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
Just as clarification, a motion to call the question is a motion to close debate. That's all that is.
That is what we are voting.
And then you go on to a further motion.
Yes.
Which we were at.
Is that true? Okay.
We were at hers, though.
No,
we were on his motion to close debate.
They're actually having us vote on closing debate.
You know, Mr. Chairman, if
division members, we have a division called on Senator Perry's motion to call the previous question.
To be sure it's clear.
The motion before the member, the decision before the members is the action on Senator Perry's motion to call the previous question ends debate, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the question before the committee. No, we've been asked for a division on that vote. I would ask that all those in favor of Senator Perry's motion to the previous question.
There needs, Mr. Chair, what I'm hearing here is there needs to be clarity on my call. If you want me to give you clarity.
Mr. Chairman, that's out of order. That's out of order, Mr. Chairman. You're calling for a division. Call for the division.
I called for the division on your question, Senator. So all those in favor of Senator Perry's motion for the previous question, raise their right hand. Raise their hand.
Right hand.
Right hand, left hand. I don't care. All those opposed? The motion passes 7-5. Now, the motion before us is Senator Hand's amendment.
Substitute
to send House File 873 to the HHS Committee. He's moving to amend Senator Olson's amendment. I'm getting a little confused. Senator Hand, the question before the committee is Senator Hand's amendment to Senator Olson's amendment.
I'd like a roll call, Mr. Chairman.
And Senator Hand has asked for a roll call. Is the committee clear on Senator?
Mr. Chair, to be very clear, this is not a vote on the bill per se. It is just a vote to send it to Health and Human Services.
Right.
That would be amended onto the bill. Very good.
It's only Senator Hand's amendment. And a roll call has been asked for. The clerk will take the roll.
Senator Bonhoff.
No.
Senator Cohen.
Yes.
Senator Fischbach.
No.
Senator Goodwin. Senator Hahn.
Yes.
Senator Higgins.
Yes.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
No.
Senator Langseth.
No.
Senator Magnus.
No.
Senator Newman.
No.
Senator Nienau.
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Perry?
No.
Senator Stumpf?
No.
Senator Roebling?
No.
Motion fails on 11-3 vote. We have a motion in front
Mr.
of
Chairman.
Us from Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
I'd move to amend the motion to re-refer the bill to the local government committee. We've had discussion about the impact on local governments. And so I think we should send it to that committee. I'd ask for a roll call on that.
We have a motion before us to send to amend the Senator Olson's amendment, and a roll call has been asked for by Senator Cohen. The clerk will take the roll.
Senator Bonhoff.
No.
Senator Cohen.
Yes.
Senator Fischbach.
No.
Senator Goodwin. Senator Hahn.
Yes.
Senator Higgins.
Yes.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
No.
Senator Langseth.
No.
Senator Magnus.
No.
Senator Newman.
No.
Senator Nienau.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
No.
Senator Perry.
No.
Senator Stumpf.
No.
Senator Roebling.
No.
The motion before us fails on a 4 positive, 10 negative vote.
Okay, Mr. Motion. Chairman, then I'll move to lay the bill on the table, ask for a roll call. Because if we're not going to debate the bill, I got a whole slew of motions. If we're not going to allow members to debate for a couple minutes, I got lots of motions to make. So I move to lay the bill on the table, ask for a roll call.
Senator Cohen's made a motion to lay the bill on a table?
Mr. Chair?
It's not debatable, Senator Bonhoeffer.
Mr. Chair, just a point of inquiry. If we lay the bill on the table, can we take it off the table at a later time?
By a positive sure. motion? Of
yeah.
The,
you can have a motion, Senator Nino. You can have a motion to bring it back from the table.
I move to amend Senator Cohen's motion. Can I do that?
It's not debatable. I don't believe you can do that.
Yes. Well, no, sure, amendment to the motion.
Can you?
But
Tom? Can she make an emotion to amend his motion?
If we open debate, yeah. We can say what he wants to say.
I don't think you can. Yeah, I don't think you can. Motion's not debatable, Senator Bonhoeffer.
Okay.
We'll need to take action on it. Okay. All those in favor of Senator motion, Senator Cohen's motion to lay the bill on the table signify by saying aye.
Aye. I ask for roll call, Mr. Chairman.
Did you? I'm sorry. I didn't hear that, Senator Cohen.
I didn't hear it.
The clerk will take the roll.
Senator Bonhoeffer?
No.
Senator Cohen?
Yes.
Senator Fischbach?
No.
Senator Goodwin? Senator Hahn?
Yes.
Senator Higgins?
Yes.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
No.
Senator Langseth?
No.
Senator Magnus?
No.
Senator Newman?
No.
Senator Nino?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Perry?
No.
Senator Stumpf?
No.
Senator Roebling?
No.
Mr. Chair?
The vote fails on a 10-4 vote. Senator Bonhoeffer.
Mr. Chair, I move to reopen debate in hopes that Senator Cohen could finish his thought.
So that is Senator
Bonhoeffer, we
on the prevailing side.
We are open to debate.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think Senator Cohen thinks that we can't debate, and that's why he's doing this, because of Senator Perry's previously calling the question.
And Mr. Chairman, we can't debate. We called the question.
So Mr. Chair?
Senators, hold on a second here. Our counsel is going to clarify this.
Mr. Chairman,
we all have the same understanding.
You had Senator Perry's motion to call the question, and that related to Senator Hand's motion to amend Senator Olson's motion. That question occurred. If there's a wish to further limit debate, that motion would have to be renewed.
So it's not limited.
That question has been called.
So he can talk.
Senator Olson. What is before the committee?
So Mr. Chairman,
Senator
Cohen, Senator
Olson's
don't you
motion.
Need to save some of the debate for the floor?
Well, Senator Olson, you have the motion before us now.
Yes, I do.
Your motion
I
is
renew
to
renew that motion
is to send House File 873 as amended to the floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Can we have a roll call?
Opposed, nay.
No.
Mr. Chairman, I ask for a roll call on that.
Senator Hand and cast for a roll call. Well, the clerk will take the roll.
Division. Big surprise here. Okay.
All right. Senator Hand.
He had asked for it previously.
We've already called for the vote.
I'd ask for a roll call before the
for a show of hands.
Mr. Chairman, I believe I'd ask for a roll call before you called for the vote.
We didn't hear that, Senator Hand, so we'll ask for a show of hands. You can ask for a division. We'll grant that. All those in favor of Senator Olson's bill as amended, sent to the floor, raise your hands. Opposed? Nay? Raise your hand. All right. The motion passes.
We're going to do about the other couple bills.
Senator Roebling, any?
Mr. Chair, we can adjourn for the day. We will take up the remaining two education bills at our next meeting.
All right. The Chair Roebling has suggested that we take the remaining bill.